Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Capitan, giving a mug on, dress like a million bucks, buying things in his cups. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Okay. Today is simple. I got it together. I didn't have to. I gave it a little thought this morning. I actually got up and went to the gym. And I make time for that, too. Man, that's... But that's kind of what I want to speak with everybody about today, because I want to remind you, and if you haven't heard it, I'm going to share it with you. I want to tell you, I want to just talk to you about effort today. Just about effort. You know, it's a word that people use to describe sometimes trying. But what I found out about trying is just a noble way of saying you didn't get it done. I tried. And then everybody go, well, he tried. That was the best. Well, that's not exactly true, though. That's not exactly true, you all. And I want to talk to you about that, because I don't want you to be one of the people who just tried. See, trying... I mean, I got to tell you, to attempt something, you're going to have to first try. But I want you to change your mindset from trying to getting it done. See, that's a big difference. When you say, I'm going to get it done, and when somebody says to me, I'm going to try, those are two different people I'm talking to. I'm really more apt to listen to the person that says to me, I'm going to get it done. Because trying, to me, I know what that means, man. And oftentimes when you've tried, have you ever noticed that you've not gotten it done? It's because when you go in with the mindset of trying, I'm going to try. What try does is it allows you to fail. Trying allows you to fail. Because if all you're going to do is try, anybody can try. It's the person that has the mindset that I'm going to get it done. It's the person who changes the complexion of things, who changes the outcome of things, who gets a different result. I'm going to get it done is very different than I'm going to try. You know, look, man, I know this sounds a little harsh, but you got to stop feeding yourself these little old wise sayings that ain't, it was a valiant try. Hey, man, you talk to anybody that took second place in the Super Bowl and see how they feel about their valiant try. The only way to gain God's real blessings is you have to try something. Steve, you're backpedaling. No, listen to me close. You have to put forth an effort to allow God to put his finger on something to bless on your behalf. You must start to attempt. Now, in saying getting it done and I'm going to try, that's a different of two different faiths to me. That I'm just talking about me now. You may be different, so I can't say this about you. But I can say this about me. If I say I'm going to get it done, I have a lot of faith in it. I am going to get it done because I just don't see failure as an option a lot of times. Now, if somebody says to me, like the Olympic team invited me out to curl one day, which is throw these stones on the ice, if you're not familiar with it, it's very simple. And so I said, man, I'd like to give that a try. I went in full well knowing I may not come away from this little curling lesson as a person who could make the Olympic team. I just wanted to try it because I thought it looked cool and I always wanted to get it done. Well, I failed twice. I threw a stone completely into the other lane. I lost that little ice shoe. It shot out from under me. But you know what? I kept trying, though. I kept trying until I got four of them stones in that circle right where I aimed. But now, had I given up after I failed, after I threw that stone in the other lane, after I shot my shoe down all the way to the bottom side, the little ice shoe they give you, I never would have did it. But because I was trying, something got me together a little bit because of my effort. And it caused me not to fall the next time, not to throw it in the other lane, not to shoot my shoe to the back of the wall. All of a sudden, my trying became something. Now, had I stayed out there and it wasn't so cold and I went back week after week after week after week, I promise you, I could get it done. I could at least know how to compete in a game of curling. Might not be the best. I might not win the championship, but I could have got it done to the point where I could have competed in a game of curling. So sometimes, if you're scared to say I'm going to get it done, just go out there and get started. You know, learn from every attempt that you make. See, don't quit writing yourself off as a failure every time something don't go right. When I fell on that ice, I could have said, man, I can't curl. But hold up, man, I'm watching four other women out here curl, four other dudes out here curl, little kids out here curling. Hold up, partner. You know, man. So I learned when I threw that stone on the other ice, when I failed, when my shoe shot off. I learned from every attempt a little bit more about it. And then I said to myself one point in time, man, I'm going to get this stone in that circle. I'm going to get this stone in this circle. And guess what? I got it done. Now, what you saying to me, Steve? I'm saying to you that you got to get started, that you got to put forth an effort. Give God something to bless. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, bless me. Bless you what? Bless you where? Bless you how? Stop basing your results on what you're thinking. You got to think higher. You get God in your life, man, he allows you to think higher, bigger, better, more. I'm sitting up here in my debt. I came up with a plan to get out of debt in 5 years. I came up with this plan, right? I was sitting up and I was tripping on it. Now I said, wait a minute, man, hold up. This is what I came up with. I said, God created heaven and earth, all of it. The mountains, the sky, the valleys, the oceans, trees, the birds, all of this, man. Mount Everest, the Gobi Desert, the Indian Ocean, all of it, made all of it in 6 days. And then he rested on the seventh. So why am I taking to God the five-year plan? If he can create heaven and earth in 6 days, why am I walking in there talking about help me in 5 years? How is it going to take God 5 years to get me out of debt? And he made heaven and earth in 6 days. Do the math here, man. I ain't that big. You ain't that big. You ain't in that much trouble. I ain't in that much trouble. See, God got a way of showing you some things, man, but it's going to take some faith, and faith going to take some effort on your part. Man, get out and do something, man. You, God will bless you a little bit, and he give you a little bit more courage, and then all them attempts you making is going, and all this, oh, I'll try. You know what that turned into? I'm going to get it done. And at the end of the day, that's what you have to do, because trying to pay your rent and not paying your rent is two different things. You can try to pay your rent, or you can get it done. Now, how long you think you're going to stay in that house trying? You got to go with the mindset of getting it done. And if you can put some stuff out there and give God a chance to put his finger on it and bless it for you, the most stuff he can do for you. Quit looking around at what everybody else got and go and get some of it for yourself, okay? All right.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, may I have your attention, please? Like to welcome the two new affiliates, Dayton, Ohio. What's the call letters in Dayton, Carla?
WROU.
92. W? 92.1.
Yeah.
O-U. Mm-hmm. Rue to the Q.
Can't see that.
Welcome to WROU, Almighty Dayton, Ohio. Co-op Patterson High School, home of the late, great Wayne Knowles and my main man, Marvelous Marvin Harden. I would also like to say good morning to Daryl Bennett over at Bennett's Barbershop. Been cutting hair since he was in college. Keep it up, man. Wonder Love saying, what's up to you, boy? Yeah. And then the great state of the Sip. We in Jackson, Mississippi. J-Town. Good morning, everybody. Carla Farrell.
Good morning, Steve Harvey. What's up?
Ain't nothing but a party. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing but a party. What's up, Junior?
What's up, Unc?
I'm broadcasting live from Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you in Vegas? Mm-hmm. That's why you're so happy. You haven't even been to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell no. No, I'm delirious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you
There's
love
Vegas.
There's
a difference
Vegas.
Between being happy and delirious.
His sack.
What's up, Tommy Tom?
Doggy dog, you got to tell me now. Roulette, baby, yeah. What you do? What you do?
I'm up 18.
18 what? 100?
18,000.
What?
Yeah, I'm up 18,000.
Do you know I would have left Vegas?
Yes.
For what?
After 18,000? We on the plane. We
okay.
Headed on back home.
Okay, jackpot.
I'm trying to get this before these people start looking for me. 18.
And somebody sitting over here in the studio with his mouth poked out. What's wrong with you, Junior?
Because he in Vegas and his sidekick is here.
And you're the sidekick.
Yeah. When I go to Vegas?
Yeah.
Ever since I took Junior to Vegas, he ain't been the same.
Oh,
he okay. Came back from the fight. He was different.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see how he left me. When you got on there, you didn't see me.
Why didn't you go, Junior?
I had to work.
You had to what?
I had to work.
He had to work.
He had to work. And work for who?
Him.
He had to work. Junior, just so you feel, but the plane was full, man. All the tickets was.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Okay.
We going to go, though. You owe me.
But he's sitting over there like a little kid.
Yeah, I see him.
And with his lip open.
Yeah. I owe you.
Yeah, Unc, you owe me a trip.
Oh, I like that, Junior.
Wait a minute.
I don't never ask for nothing, Unc.
No, I took you to Vegas. The first time, how I owe you?
Another one.
Yeah. Every time you go, he goes.
Yeah.
When I move, you
Come
move.
On, just like that. Hey, DJ, bring it back.
Damn, okay.
Now you know, that's your Vegas partner right there.
Yeah. Mm. You ever rode a fun ride before?
Yeah.
Don't you want to do it again?
All the time.
That's what this is.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I see.
I can't believe it.
I see your point, Junior.
How he don't see that?
Yeah.
I understand. That's what it's like when you get married, Junior. You don't get to ride the fun. Let me
this is the day show after the birthday.
You won't say that.
The day after show, his wife's boy. Birthday. What in
Are
the world?
Are you sure you want to say? Just like when you get married, Junior.
What is
you
wrong
can ride
with him?
My bad.
All right, we'll be back.
I got carried away. I'm sorry.
Yes, you will at 32 after the hour. We're going to talk about finances and all of that at 32 after. Maybe marriage.
That's the same thing.
Nephew.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Jay Anthony Brown. Are you feeling sluggish and weighed down to start the new year off? Well, guess what? I am, too. And I bet you didn't know. It's probably because of your digestive system. So I was thinking we should do something about it. And who doesn't love a challenge? Metamucil's got a 2-week challenge that's super easy. Metamucil traps and removes the waste that weighs you down so you feel lighter and more regular. And who don't want that? So give it a try and check it out. Metamucil.com and sign up now.
Okay, Steve. So, you know, last break, you're in Vegas. You've been partying and gambling all night. What are you there for, though? Can you tell us? You have a meeting?
The CES conference.
What's that?
It's a tech conference out here in Vegas. You know, opportunities are out here, you know, investing opportunities, chances to partner with some, the next greatest tech firm or, you know, app opportunity.
Okay.
You never know. And I've had some interesting meetings out here. Very, very blessed and fortunate, man. I was one of the speakers yesterday.
Nice.
And so I was interviewed by
a
gentleman that heads up Variety magazine on stage in front of a room full of tech people. So it was interesting.
Okay. You hustling. Boy, that doggone Steve Harvey know how to boy.
How you finna make some money, though? Tell me what you finna do.
Well, you know, you partner with people. You know, I look for partnerships that's meaningful. I look for people who are looking for an equity partner, you know, that they can share in their business idea. And maybe they don't have the platform that I have. Maybe like I'm in 66% of all American homes in one shape, form or another. We talk to between 7 to 9 million people every week on this radio show.
Yes, we do. And thank
I got a pretty big, social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on radio, TV, and social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I can promote from any angle. That's something to offer.
That's a big brand.
And on top of all that,
yeah.
Hell, I'm famous.
There it is.
So you're going to have what?
But like as hell, though.
Yeah.
Famous ass.
Yeah.
That's good and bad now.
Yeah. I'll be knowing
yes,
you.
It is.
That's good and bad.
Yeah.
But you know how I realized he was really famous?
How?
When he stopped traffic in Times Square in the middle of the day.
Mm. What were they doing?
Nobody's moving.
Because it's Steve.
There goes Steve Harvey. Hell no.
Yeah.
They can't believe it.
Isn't it amazing when you see that?
When you see that.
Because he's
saw
just
it. We
Steve
saw it
to
in,
us.
In yeah. Paris, we saw traffic stop.
Yes. I said, man.
Rich the paparazzi.
God, dog.
Yeah, but so, you know what's crazy? My kids the same way.
They're not
Why
impressed.
Why are they calling him all the time? I want to go, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, you're daddy to them. Dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dad, could you pay us attention?
Pay
you
attention
ain't no fan.
Yeah. I saw an interview with Robert Downey Jr., and he was talking about, Johnny Depp.
Jack Sparrow,
okay. Right, from Pirates of the Caribbean. So he thinking he's doing big things because he's Jack Sparrow, Pirates of the Caribbean, to his son. He invited Robert Downey Jr. over, and so for dinner, his kids was like, Iron Man coming over here.
Yeah.
And he was like, hold up, I'm Jack Sparrow. They was like, but Iron Man is coming over here, Dad.
For real.
So he was like, Dad.
Get on your ship and leave.
Yeah. So that's cool, though, Steve. That's really, really cool.
It's crazy to see that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just come out here and you try to make connections. I've met some really interesting people. It's some sharp African-Americans out here. Not enough.
Good.
By a long shot, but
good,
some
but
really sharp ones out here that I've met. You know, I mean, I do business with anybody. It's good when you see African-Americans out here in the tech field because that's where everything is headed. So, you know.
That's how you can make some money.
It was a pleasure to sit and talk with some of them, you know. We had a good time. And I'll do today. I'll be out here today. I'll leave tonight, but we'll walk the floor. And, you know, try to make some contacts, man. See what we can come up with. See if I can, you know.
Get that paper.
That's when I hit one over the wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though, Steve. I was watching the news, and I saw this report on CNBC. And, you know, it was talking about how the government shutdown and how the federal workers are in financial limbo. And it brought a spotlight, this government shutdown, of how people are not just government employees. We're living paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're saying this was a, there was a survey on Career Builder that said that 10% of Americans with salaries of more than $100,000 as well live paycheck to paycheck. So what kind of financial advice can you give people, Steve, so
I'm
going to
tell you something, man. It really is difficult not to live paycheck to paycheck, because what jobs do is they pay you enough to get to the next check.
Mm-hmm.
You end up working, and so you want something to show for your work. You want a new car. You know, you want some new furniture.
Yeah.
You want your wife to upgrade the kitchen. You know, you want a lot of different things in life, and it costs money.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't have the money, you extend yourself debt-wise. And that's understandable. That's human nature. It just takes a couple of emergencies in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
To throw off your financial structure.
Yeah.
If you've been saving 15% and then you have a 75% emergency that takes up 75% of your check, well, how do you recover from that?
Right. Uh-huh.
Especially after you have to go into your money that you keep trying to save, and all of a sudden you got to go into that to get out this emergency.
Yeah.
It becomes quite difficult not to live check to check. And so the only thing, and I'm just so people can stop feeling horrible about themselves.
Once you hit that emergency stash twice, we're really in an emergency.
No, it's a crisis. Yeah.
Well, but you know, I want people to stop feeling so bad because you live in paycheck to paycheck, because a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Stop feeling bad about that because you check to check, because the majority of the people are.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do is to get out of living paycheck to paycheck. My only solution I've ever had is not to cut back. My solution has always been make more.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's the only way. It may not be the most professional advice you can get, but my thought is to make more. Who wants to go to work and then try to cut their cable off so they can save money?
Wow.
Turn your damn car in so you can save money. Now, carpool, man, hell.
All right, Steve. Thank you for that. Yeah, hey, everybody. I'm here. I made it.
Hey, Shirley, morning.
What's up, Shirley?
Where you been, Shirley?
Traffic jam, okay? Traffic jam.
It can't be the first week back.
We'll be right back. You don't come in here and just close out brakes like you've been sitting here. We'll be right back with Shirley after this.
Right. Run that prank back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, guys, in entertainment news, Meek Mill.
Whoa.
Why is he in this? Why is he protesting lace front wigs?
Well, he ain't by himself.
What?
Meek just got out not too long ago, didn't he?
We not having that, though.
You know social media was not having this.
Mm-mm.
Uh-uh, they weren't.
Clap back.
Yep.
So when Meek was in jail, ain't nobody had no lace front in there.
But you be quiet.
Somebody had a lace front.
But Nephew Tommy is here, of course. He's going to run that prank back. We'll talk about Meek Mill coming up, though, Nephew.
All right, here we
go. What you got for us?
A heart of a brother. Brother, let's run that.
Hello? Hey, I'm trying to reach Alan. This is Alan. Alan, how you doing, man? My name is Bobby Booker. What can I do for you? I got your number, man, from the hospital. Did you just, within the last, I guess, 3-4 months, did you get a heart transplant? Within 3.5 months ago, yeah, I did, 3.5 months ago. Okay. How you been feeling, man? Actually good. I'm actually up and around faster than I thought it was going to be, you know? So I'm doing well. Thank you. Are you with are you with the hospital? No, I'm not. Actually, you know, they gave me your number, man. I hope you okay with it. But you actually the heart that you got was from my brother, Troy.
And, oh my God, really?
Yeah, that was my brother. My brother passed away.
I'm so sorry about your brother, but wow, I gotta tell you, he saved my life, man.
Yeah. So I you know, I just wanted to call you, man. I hope you don't mind. You know,
no, not at all.
You know, it's kind of like a little bit of my brother is still living. You know what I mean? It kind of feels like my brother's still living. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
I'm
just glad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this, man. I'm just curious because you're Caucasian, right?
Yeah, I'm white.
Yeah. Do you feel any different having a black man's heart in your body?
No, I don't feel any different. No.
Okay.
I didn't really think about it, though.
And this would just make me and the rest of the family feel good that we knew what he was dedicated to and the things that
right.
really mattered to him. Would you feel all right joining the NAACP?
Are there some people who are going to be upset that I join? I mean, is that okay?
I don't know about anybody being upset, man. It's just, I know my brother, that's what he was a part of. And, you know, you walking around with his heart, man, it would just feel different. Feel great, you know, to feel like he would be back in there doing what he was doing and fighting for injustice for the black community. Now, are you a Democratic or Republican?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was Republican until Trump, and now I'm just really, I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, that guy's an idiot.
You did vote for Trump?
I did not, but I am a Republican.
Okay. So the reason why, you know, because I'm just curious, man, because what I would hate to see is, you know, when 2020 come around, you know, you over there in the voting booth, you know, with my brother Black Heart, and you in there, you know, voting Republican, you know, and that's something that I know my brother wouldn't be doing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just asking.
Well, I mean, I'm not happy with Trump, but if someone else in the Republican Party runs and I agree with them, it's kind of like it's my heart now. I can't change my point of view just because of that. I mean, it's
yeah, but what you're not gonna do though, man, is be in there with my brother Black Heart and you up in there making some decisions that I know my brother wouldn't do. You see what I'm saying?
That's a long way off, man. But I can't promise you that. I mean, if somebody runs that I like, I mean, I'm gonna vote the way I feel. My heart and my head tell me to vote.
Hold on. See, no, don't say what my heart, because that ain't your heart. You understand? That's my brother's heart. So you got every right to ask me what you think my brother would feel in his heart, and I'll tell you. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't vote the way I feel.
Hey, man, let me ask you something. Have you been, like, craving different kind of foods that you don't normally eat? I don't know. I mean, like greens. Like, my brother ate a lot of greens. Do you feel like you'd be wanting some greens sometimes?
Well, I like greens occasionally, yeah.
Okay. All of a sudden, do you like women who have big butts?
Well, I love women in general. I didn't think about specifics, but, you know, if they're good looking, they're good looking. Well, wait a minute. What the kind of call is this, man? I mean, you're asking me all these random questions? What? I don't understand where this is coming from.
It's coming from my brother's heart. That's where it's coming from. You got my brother Black Heart inside of you. You know?
Yeah.
I'm asking you to do what my brother would do, not what you would do. You want to do it from your heart, and then you're doing it from my brother's heart.
When you first called me about your brother, I was excited. Now I'm thinking, how the f*** did the hospital give you just this number and you get to call me up? That's privileged information. You shouldn't get to just call me and ask me all these f***ing random questions, man. I just got a heart transplant. Now you're starting to get me worked up.
If I'm not trying to get you worked up.
Well,
all I'm trying
up,
to...
man.
Okay. Well, let me just calm down. All I know is you got Troy Heart inside of you, and I'm trying to let you know the kind of person Troy is. Okay, so let me ask you this. Has your music changed? Are you listening to more R&B now?
I do like R&B, but I listen to hard rock too. That hasn't changed.
Because what's in Troy Heart gonna stay in Troy Heart. You understand? So you got to have, that's in your heart now. Greens, big butts, NAACP. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, I'm trying to tell you about Troy. What? Are you crying, man?
I'm trying to tell you about Troy.
Hey, I'm sorry. I know you miss your brother. Don't. Damn, I'm so.
Okay, let me say this.
Okay.
Since you got my brother heart, I think it's only right that me and you, we get together and go to a Jay-Z concert together. I think that's only right. A Jay-Z and Beyonce concert, we go together, because that's what me and my brother did. We would go see them perform.
Well, I mean, they are two of the best of all time. So, am I buying both the tickets?
Oh, that's f***ed up. You got Troy Heart, and you worry about who going to pay for some tickets?
I didn't know. I thought maybe you might want to treat your brother one last time.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. Listen, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I mean, I get upset. I didn't mean to yell at you. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Do you listen to black radio?
Sometimes I do listen to black radio.
Do you ever listen to the Steve Harvey Morning Show?
Well, yeah, he's one of the best, man. I used to follow him when he was on Family Feud. He's great. What?
He's got a nephew on the show, and he does prank phone calls?
Yeah.
And that would be me. Alan, this is Nephew Tommy, baby. Steve Harvey Morning Show, man.
Get the out. Are you serious? Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding, baby.
Oh, my God, dude. You almost gave me a second heart attack. Jesus. Oh, my God.
You've been pranked, man, by your wife, Robin, and her co-worker, Bridget, partner. You got to tell me this. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
It's your show, baby. Steve Harvey. Come on, man.
All right, thank you, nephew. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about Meek Mill and his protest over lace front wig.
Really, Meek?
What? Get a real cause if you're going to protest something. Social media wasn't having it. We'll talk about it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, tomorrow morning, guys, make sure you tune into the Steve Harvey Morning Show because Kevin Hart will be our very special guest host tomorrow.
Here we go, Kevin. Yeah. Come on,
what's up,
baby.
Kev?
Anybody see his interview? I saw a little part of it.
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America, GMA, with Michael Strahan. One thing he said that I loved, and he said it repeatedly throughout the interview, I'm done with this. I'm moving on. I'm done with it. So what do you have to say about this, Kevin? I'm done with it. Well, what about this?
What was he referring to?
About the whole, you know, Oscar controversy, you know, with the gay statements he had made.
That right there, they took that too far. Yeah. The man apologized some time ago.
Years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And recently
he apologized again. Yeah. So that's why he said he's done. But he'll be with us tomorrow to chop it up, Steve.
Yeah. But he's not going to talk about that. I can tell you that.
he's going to talk about it on this damn show. That's what he's going to do.
Based on that interview, he's done.
We're going to have fun.
I don't give a damn what he said on GMA.
He said because it's never enough. All right. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Kevin's new movie. It's called The Upside with Bryan Cranston.
That looks good.
Yeah, that looks really good. So join us tomorrow morning for Kevin Hart. And in other news, Steve, many women, I know everybody, wears a lace front wig from time to time. We wear weaves. We wear whatever we want to wear.
Yes.
I'm getting ready to color my hair.
And y'all wear it well.
Thank you. But apparently, Meek Mill, who knew?
I ain't know you had on no lace front wig. I'm just going to keep it warm.
Yeah, you don't. If they're done right, you don't know.
I don't know.
That's the thing, Steve. If they're done right, you don't know.
If you don't take it off in front of me, I just don't know. I don't know if you got it on.
I love it, Tommy.
I love it.
Just don't take it off in front of me.
So you're not upset about it?
I'm not upset about nothing.
Okay. No, no problem.
But technically, it ain't none of my damn business.
Exactly. As long as
you know what I'm saying?
Good.
Look, if you're not my woman, I can't comment on what you're doing with your hair.
Right, but
you're not my woman.
Meek Mill, Steve, said lace front wigs are whack. I'm protesting them. And after being trolled, Meek issued this response. I'm sorry. I just had a few bad lace experiences that traumatized me. He said, you ever get food poisoning from eating something and never want to eat it again? He said, that's the same feeling. That is the same feeling. He said, I'm off Twitter. I'm still not ready for this.
Okay, let me explain lace front to me.
Okay, lace front, how they make them, they put like weave hair or wig hair on top of, you know what a piece of like nylon hose or stocking
netting
looks like?
Different forms.
And it matches your skin color, so you can't tell where the wig begins and your skin ends. And they do it really well.
Okay, but if you can tell, it's probably where Meek has it.
Exactly, yeah, that's exactly
what I'm saying. Like if your starts back up your head somewhere.
You know what? Or it's too far down on your forehead. You made your point. Yes.
Like right above your
eyebrows. I'm just saying, I kind of think I know where you're going with it.
I see what you're saying.
Too much baby hair out, you know, something.
If your lace front don't match the hair that's showing in... If your lace front ain't the only hair that's in the front.
All right, Steve. We got to go. Let's head on over to Miss Ann and news, please.
If your lace front is a lace next.
Did you hear what I just said?
Well, maybe your lace front is a lace next. The next piece of hair you see other than yours. And as the club gets longer in the night, more and more of your hair is being exposed.
It's glued on, so that should not be the case. Please introduce Miss Ann.
Well, it shifted and now meek than seen.
Glue melt when it get hot.
Miss Ann.
Yeah, sweat.
You can't get out of jail and see that. That ain't what you want to see when you get out of jail.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody, and good morning. Okay, this is Ann Tripp with the news. President Trump held a brief meeting on the southern border wall issue yesterday. I mean, like, real brief, with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic leader Charles Schumer. But Vice President Mike Pence says the meeting pretty much ended as soon as it began and that it was the fault, he says, of the Democrats.
The president called the question in the meeting. He asked Speaker Pelosi that if he opened things up quickly, if he reopened the government quickly, would she be willing to agree to funding for a wall or a barrier on the southern border? And when she said no, the president said goodbye.
However, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says her take on the meeting a little different.
What the president is claiming to be the situation at the border is not solved by a wall. And we have been for border security. We take our oath to protect and defend the American people very seriously.
This week, federal workers will miss their first paychecks, and Senator Charles Schumer is accusing the president of having a temper tantrum. Mr. Trump is going to be visiting the wall today, by the way. He's going to be in Texas. He's also brought the White House lawyer with him. Despite President Trump's claim of GOP solidarity on his side, at least three Senate Republicans, by the way, have expressed support for reopening the government while talks about border security continue. That's what the Democrats want. Some 800,000 federal workers are either working for deferred pay or furloughed due to the partial shutdown now in its third week. According to two Senate Intelligence Committee reports, Russian operatives aggressively targeted black Americans over social media in 2016 and tried to discourage them from voting, so as to help Donald Trump get elected. The reports also reveal that since Trump's election, that Moscow has been using the internet to inflame racial tensions and push Trump's social agenda. And that while some other ethnic and religious groups were the focus of one or two Facebook pages and Instagram accounts, that the black community was targeted by dozens. After voters in Wisconsin, by the way, voted in a new governor last November, a Democrat named Tony Evers, Republicans who still dominate that state's legislature quickly made moves to cut off the incoming governor's political legs. So they passed a bunch of bills during a not publicized lame duck session last month. And under the new laws, Governor Evers will not be, for instance, able to modify the state's voter ID law. His control over the state's job creation agency will be limited. Another measure keeps him from keeping his campaign promise to pull Wisconsin out of the multi-state federal lawsuit designed to get rid of Obamacare. Governor Ebers says he's considering his options, his legal options. According to a new study, about 65% of Americans say they're in debt. 25% of them think they'll die that way. However, households with incomes of about $50,000, get this, they feel that they'll be out of debt the soonest. I don't know why, but they do. Finally, it's Sleepyheads Day. Oh, don't you wish you could sleep in today? I know. I hear you. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Back to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
According to TMZ, you know, man, this R. Kelly thing, well, in any way, he's not going to be charged for allegedly giving a woman an STD after the cops in Dallas closed their investigation.
Wow.
Boy, he's slippery, isn't he?
Well.
Who is this?
This is R. Kelly.
Wow.
Yeah. Dallas PD looked into allegations that R. Kelly gave an anonymous young woman an STD after allegedly holding her captive as his sex slave
we
in 2017.
That. Yeah, in the docu
we saw it in the docu, right?
Uh-huh. And so you don't get charged for holding somebody captive.
This is about giving her the STD. They're working on probably the captivity part and all that. You know, there's stuff going on in Georgia and in Chicago. And no charges will be brought against R in connection to that case. Now, this is also according to TMZ. The woman filed a police report last year, 2018, claiming she'd met Kelly in Dallas the year before. She claimed he restrained her, plied her with alcohol and drugs, and gave her an STD. However, the alleged victim says the incident occurred in New York City and she will personally fly from Texas to Manhattan in the near future to file a police report. Meanwhile, R. Kelly is currently being investigated, like I just said, in Fulton County District Attorney's Office in Georgia, and the State Attorney's Office in Chicago has made a plea for any witnesses or victims to come forward to contact her office at 773 773-674-6492. That's 773-674-6492.
So I understand what they're saying. She's saying that she met him in Dallas, but what went down was in New York.
And happened
so
in New
York. So you
see
why Dallas didn't
they
file.
Don't have no, it's not there.
Yeah, they didn't file the charges. So now she says, well, I will go to New York.
To New York. I'll fly up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Steve.
Yeah.
This is.
I don't know what what all that means for him. I'm not, you know.
This is a mess.
Well, I mean, hopefully.
I'm more of a proponent of him just getting his ass beat.
He was going to say that.
Okay. All right. I'm more of a proponent for that. All these court cases and stuff. You know, we can't vote and none of like that. I just say, you know, it's good old solid ass whooping. Yeah, you know, you got paperwork. You got a selected jury, taxpayer money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you
fix all this.
Yeah.
You can't
let them two daddies that was on the special get in the room with him.
Yeah.
You Kelly.
Dog. Yeah.
The greatest lessons have been really handled by ass
whooping. The best I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I've seen a lot of things get cured.
There may be something to that because he's been in and out of court for years and years and years and nothing's ever happened to him. So,
that's
you know, you guys may have something.
Right thing.
You guys may have something there.
You know, and nobody has ever been acquitted of an ass.
Coming up at 34 after the hour, Steve, Beyonce shops at Target. Yeah, saw the pictures. Yes.
Go ahead, B.
And we'll talk about finances right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, yes, Beyonce, the one and only, was spotted at a Los Angeles area Target. We all shop at Target.
Yes, so not mad at
can
her.
Can you imagine going down the aisle and seeing Beyonce?
What's going on?
She was not pushing the basket, though. She was not doing that. She had her people were doing that. She was just, you know, strutting. Yes,
it's hard
like
not to go
does.
Get them tiles. Them
I don't
tiles
push mine
sale.
Either when I go in there. That ain't special.
One fan tweeted a snapshot of her in the baby aisle. Wearing an orange jumpsuit and some white sunglasses, they wrote, anyone in Westwood, Beyonce is at Target right now. This is not a drill. This is not a drill.
Get on down here.
Yes. So our question this hour, would you shop at a discount store like Target or Walmart, even if you and your spouse were worth $1 billion? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Target. Oh, what? I love Walmart. What?
Target,
I ain't
Walmart.
Nowhere near that. And I go to Walmart, Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Myself.
Absolutely. Also, there is a survey that says we're uncomfortable dealing with and talking about our finances. How uncomfortable? 32% would rather go down to the DMV than work on a financial plan.
Wow.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, 20% would rather spend an hour in jail than come up with a 5-year financial plan.
Wow.
Yeah, a year in jail? What? An hour in jail, I mean? 5-year financial plan? 34% would rather post their most embarrassing photo of themselves on social media than post a screenshot of their account balances. Where are you in all of this, Steve?
Oh, we can put his account balance
all
up there.
That financial stuff. I ain't going to jail.
No, for an hour?
No. For what? For what?
Hoping some money?
Well, it's something that you avoid. Yeah, you just don't want to deal with.
You don't
want to
deal
it.
With the budgeting and,
I don't.
And all
I don't
of that.
Like the financial meetings I have to have. I don't like them. My wife and I don't like them.
You know?
And the part I don't like is I.
Yeah, what
don't
you like about
it's always, you know, you got to hire people to watch over things for you because. You know, when it's coming in from a couple of different angles, you got to have people keeping an eye on it. And then you got to pay these taxes and you got to make sure you're getting all the write-offs that you qualify for. You know, so instead of just spending this money, what'd you do with the money? You got to have a receipt. What was it for? You know, and all like that. You be answering a lot of questions. I don't want to do it because I don't let them really ask me nothing about my money.
See, that's what the survey is saying. Yes.
I really don't. Don't ask me what I did with it. It's like coming out here to Vegas.
So I think you're
part
of
it. I withdraw cash to come here.
Yeah. You must be part of
my
that 34%,
CFO.
Steve.
What?
They'd rather post their most embarrassing picture of themselves on social media than post a screenshot of their account balances. I think that's
no
your...
Way in hell. I took a picture naked before I did it.
Yeah, you're part of that group.
Yeah, I be ass naked on Instagram. I'll show y'all these...
and counts. Conversation.
What's going to happen?
I'd rather you be talking about body parts than me.
I'd be like, Steve, look at his butt.
We not going to be discussing this. You don't understand the begging that's going to be behind that.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Snapshot.
Steve Harvey is tricky.
I know. Naked Steve Harvey.
All right, then.
Oh, yeah. So you going to try to say you ain't got it?
Exactly.
That's exactly it, Steve.
What about you, Junior?
What?
Which category would you be in? 30?
I just started making money. I'll show you. I just got this. Man.
You're not in either one of these categories.
I don't even care. Look right. at this. Man, you would have seen me 6 years ago.
Look at God. Look at God.
Junior, how many bank accounts you got?
Four.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. Four different bank accounts.
All right. Yeah. Nephew, I hate to ask you, which category would you be in? I know you don't want to spend an hour in jail.
I ain't going no damn jail.
Tell me how many bank accounts you got.
Are y'all serious?
Mm-hmm. Eight. I got eight.
All right now.
Yeah. I got eight of them.
All right, nephew. Told
That's a lot.
Me.
Yeah.
I ain't finna put it up there for everybody to look at, though.
All right, well, so you're over there with Steve, 34%. All right, go to Steve Harvey FM to comment. Nephew Tommy's prank phone call is coming up next. What you got for us, Neff? We'll find out right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's my strawberry letter for today's subject. I thought I found the perfect man. Right now, though, the nephew's here with today's good money. Phone call. Nephew, what's on you? What you got?
This right here. Truck driver exchange.
Is that good? What is driver exchange?
Now, Carla, when you call a brother who is a truck driver here in the United States and tell him we finna send you to South Africa to drive for 6 months over there.
Ooh.
This don't go too well.
Ooh, you play too much.
This don't go too well. This don't go too well.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Franklin.
Yeah, this is Franklin.
Hey, Franklin, how you doing? This is Roosevelt giving you a call from Human Resources.
Human Resources? Hey, what's up, Roosevelt? What can I do for you?
All right, man. I'm calling you from Human Resources, Global Transit Partners, where you, you've been driving trucks for us for quite some time now. What are you, six and a half years right now?
Man, I'm 8.5 years. You 2 years short, baby.
Okay, 8.5 years. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Enjoying this road life, man. I love working for you guys, man. The benefits is there. I mean, I'm surprised to get a call from you. I mean, hope everything.
Well, I'm sure you're on the road right now. You're probably driving. I wanted to give you a call. And is this a bad time? Or can you talk right now?
Yeah, I actually pulled over, man. I had to get something to eat, man.
Okay. So listen, let me tell you what's going on here with GTP. What we're doing is we are doing some job exchange. And some of the drivers that we have been pulled out of a pool. And some of you guys are going to be actually driving in different places now. So for the next 6 months, within the next 30 days here, Franklin, you're going to be you're going to be driving trucks in South Africa. And you're going to be for about six months. You're going to drive in South Africa.
Hold on. Yeah, listen, I ain't got no problem with South Africa, but y'all rabbit. Smart. I'm not going to no South Africa. I don't even know how to drive on the right-hand side of the road, man. I love Africans. I love everything about Africa, but I'm not going. I got a family out here in the United States of America, and you're trying to tell me I got to go to South Africa. Come on, man. What type of shit are you on, man?
It's part of the job exchange is what it is, man.
I don't know what type of job exchange I got going on, man. I don't want to be part of that job exchange. No, I'm not going to no damn South Africa. This is not happening, man.
Listen to me, Franklin. 6 months and you'll be back in the States, okay? Let me say
what
this.
What type
to you,
of National Geographic program y'all got going on, man? I don't know what y'all got going on that y'all calling me. I'm in the middle of the parking lot trying to eat me a cheeseburger from being on the road all night, and you talking about sending me to South Africa. What type of shit are you on, man? This some foreign exchange program y'all got going on? I'm not being part of this shit. You pulled my name out of pool like it was a susu to come tell me that I'm up to be driving in South Africa. This must be a joke. No.
This is a good thing though, Franklin. I think you're gonna like it. No, it's not a good thing.
What are you telling me? It's a good thing. I got wife and kids. What the are you talking about? South Africa? Do they even have roadways out there? I'm not going to South Africa. Are you serious?
I'm not hearing this correct, brother.
I'm not hearing this correct, Mr. Roosevelt.
Franklin, hear me out here, man. Like I said, they pull names out of a pool, and you and about 15 other guys are going to be going to different parts of the world.
What type of pool you pulled it in? You better put me back in the shallow part. You going to the deep end pool? Man, get the I'm not going to South Africa. I am not going to South Africa. I'm not taking no malaria shots. I don't even got a passport. You want me to go to South Africa?
Well, listen to me, Franklin. We're going to get you all the shots you need within the next 30 days, so you'll be set to go. You
know, I'm not going to. I go to South Africa, and Trump won't let me back in the country because of y'all. I'll quit right now. I'm not going to South Africa.
It's a job exchange, Franklin. Okay,
what type of job exchange? So what are we exchanging? You bringing South Africans over here, and then you bringing me over there? Y'all around, leave me. I'm not going. My wife is not going to be happy about this. I'm not going. My son plays baseball.
Okay, but can I tell you this? Your salary actually doubles the 6 months while you're over there?
Don't try to tell me about that foot in South African dollars. Or American dollars. What is it?
Franklin, it will be American dollars.
I'm not going to no South Africa. I am not going. Matter of fact, this is my last day in the road. Y'all can come pick up this rig in the parking lot because I'm not going to South Africa. I don't care how you spell it or you say it. I ain't going.
Okay, Franklin. Listen, you've been with the company eight plus years, and I just got to tell you, you are obligated. You've been chosen out of a pool. All you have to do is 6 months. You're going to get paid double. Your family's going to be fine. You'll be back.
And I ain't obligated to do but drive a truck like I do every day. I'm not going. You can't tell me about being obligated. Let me tell you what I'm obligated to do. I'm obligated to throw this truck in fourth gear and drive right through your human resources window, because I ain't going to South Africa, and I keep telling you that. I told you that since you got on the damn phone. I ain't going nowhere.
Okay, but let me ask you something, Franklin. You've been here with us for 8-something years, man. You don't want to continue your job here with the company?
I don't give a about this job right now, trying to send me overseas like you're setting me up for something. I ain't going. Matter of fact, let me turn this truck on right now. I'm coming down to see you, Mr. Roosevelt.
Okay, wait, hold on now. Do you know Jermaine Rivers?
Yeah, I know Rivers. But what do you got to do with it?
Okay, let me go on and say this, Franklin. This right here that you talking to is nephew Tommy. And your boy Rivers got me to prank phone call you. You just got pranked by your boy Jermaine Rivers.
Oh, that mother... Wait till I see... Rivers. So you ain't no Roosevelt, and I ain't got to go to South Africa.
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. This nephew Tommy, man, I be listening to y'all on the road. Oh, Rivers, you want to play around? I'll put some sugar in your tank.
All right, Franklin, before we leave, man, tell me this. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You can't send. You can't tell black people they got to leave here.
Man,
I tell you what.
I think you're right. You're a little more ignorant in the 1-9.
I'm trying to get started right in the 1-9.
I think so. Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And my first stop is Tampa, Florida at the Improv. I will be there January 24th, 25th, and 26th. I will be in Tampa, Florida. I hope the weather's good. You know why? I'm going to play a little golf while I'm down there. I ain't played none this year, so let's get to it. Tampa's best place for it.
Okay. Ain't a whole lot of people playing none this year, Tommy. You ain't really said
it. I know. I know that.
He said you ain't really said it. Because it's January.
I know. Hell, it's winter. It's winter in half.
Can't wear a tent.
Yeah. It's a pretty city. Mm-hmm.
It is pretty. It is.
A lot of water.
You know what's nice, too?
What?
West Palm Beach.
Man. Yes. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Woo! We have so much love there, too.
Yeah.
Shout out to West Palm Beach.
Big
loyal. We love you right back. We love you right back.
Loyal. Loyal.
So, okay, so that's what your tour is looking like.
Mm-hmm.
First stop of the year.
Okay, well, go to steveharvey.com and find out everything you want to know about Tommy's tours and all that. Coming up at the top of the hour, like I said, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letter, subject, I found the perfect man. We'll get into it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go. Time for today's Strawberry Letter. If you need advice on relationships, on dating, work, sex, parenting, and more, please, please submit your Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter. We could be reading your letter live like we're doing this one.
All right, let's
soon
go then.
You go.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
Subject, I thought I found the perfect man. Is there such a thing? We'll find out. All right, dear Stephen Shirley, I know I am a hardworking, educated, financially secure, good-looking, mature woman with a lot to offer. But since my divorce, I've been having trouble with dating because the men I meet say that I have too many prerequisites and they lose interest. My goal was to meet a man age 55 to 65, but instead, I finally met a man that is 75 years old. Wow, this is 5 years older than yesterday. Okay, he's retired, and he's everything that I look for in a man. He's a sharp dresser, good-looking, financially stable, and he has good morals. In the beginning, he wanted to come over every night and get busy, but I still have to go to work, so I had to cut him back to 2 to 3 nights per week and Saturday. We enjoy going out together, and we've even had a nice vacation together. There's just one problem. He refuses to go to church with me. This past Sunday, he got mad at me and told me to stop nagging him about church. I could easily fall in love with this man, and we talk about our future and getting married, but the church issue upsets me. When we talk about marriage, I told him I could never say yes if he does not say yes to going to church. He told me that he will eventually just show up one Sunday, but it will be on his own terms, not because of my nagging. What advice do you have for me? My sister says I'm acting crazy, and I should marry this man. She does not think it's a big deal. By the way, he does meet all of my other prerequisites. So what are your thoughts? My thoughts are that I agree wholeheartedly with your sister. You can't nag him. Nobody wants to be nagged. You don't want to be nagged. He says he's going to show up to church on his own terms. Let him do that, okay? Let him do it on his own terms. He may, you know, not like your church for some reason, or you know, maybe it takes him a minute to get in the spirit or whatever. Give him time. I mean, you guys haven't even been together that long for you to be making these kinds of demands on him, and probably if you'd let it go, he would show up to church with you one day. Come on now. I don't think this is such a major issue that you have to nag him and nag him and nag him about it. This man is 75 years old. You're a mature woman. You didn't say your age. But anyway, so far it's working out nicely. I mean, he's a good dresser. He's good looking, financially stable. You said in your letter he has good morals. Okay, he has good morals. So I think you're putting pressure on this man. I think just smooth it out, wait a little bit, but definitely stop nagging him, or guess what? You're going to lose him. I'm going to tell you, nobody likes to be nagged. Steve?
Shirley, yes. 1,000% correct. I agree with her sister, too. What is this letter about? Hell, both y'all old. Both of y'all old.
Oh, her and the man.
Now, you didn't want to say your man, but you come talking about you want a man between 55 and 65. Well, he's 75.
Yeah, but he still looks good.
He don't want to go to church. He don't want to go to church. He a sharp dresser. He look good. He treats you right. He checks off all the blocks in every category. And you talking about
They talking about marriage. You can't say yes to him unless he say yes to you to you going to church, to him going to church with you. I have news for you. The reason I'm talking like this is because I've been up all night. Just trying to pull myself together.
Mine is a little congestion. I have to apologize again.
Doggone it. Mine is chronic gambling.
Okay, I was going to say, what do you mean you've been up all night?
Vegas.
Doing what?
He's in Vegas acting crazy.
Oh, see, Shirley, you wasn't here. I'm in Las Vegas at the convention.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, the convention there in Vegas.
Yeah, see, but you was Vegas. Late, so you didn't know that. Uh-huh.
You'd have been here on time.
Oh, okay.
And you'd have known what's going on.
Okay, I'm here now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Uncle.
Yes, what you mean you've been up all night? That's exactly what I mean. I'm in here catching hell right now. I should have been in the bed with my old ass.
Well, you're not 75.
I don't know what the hell I don't know what I was thinking about, but I can't do this no more. I'm hurting right now. Sitting up in here. Let's get back to the letter. He's 75. He don't want to go to church. You nagging him to go to church. Now, I have personal experience with this.
Oh, dear.
My father didn't go to church much. He didn't.
This is true.
My mother and father were married for 64 years.
Wow.
Woo.
That's a long time.
Years.
Lifetime. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember my father would go twice a year, sometimes on Easter.
Yeah.
And sometimes Christmas or Mother's Day.
Oh, wow.
See, well, my dad would go a couple times a year. He went a little bit more later on. Mm-hmm. But my dad was never much of a churchgoer. My dad was one of the finest men I ever knew. Because he, like this man said, you say he's very moral. My father was a righteous man. Mm-hmm. He was righteous, man. This dude, he was just a good dude. Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to pass up on this man, like your sister say. You being crazy. First of all, how you going to find another one of these? Sharp dressing, well-meaning, 75-year-old men that ain't got nobody, they not everywhere. How you found this one is beyond me, or how he found you is beyond me. I do not know. But I'll tell you what, though.
What?
You better stay with this man.
Yeah.
If I was you. Now, when we come back, mm-hmm. I'm going to take a different approach to why I think mm-hmm. he don't want to go to church.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right. All right. We'll have part two of Steve's response.
In particular.
Coming up. Yeah, he may not like it,
now
right?
What's going on?
Down at the church.
At your church.
Uh-oh.
Who your pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So, yeah, the subject of the strawberry letter today, I
Does
thought
your
I found.
Church sell sermons? On tape after service is over. He may have heard one.
I thought I found the perfect man. Part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour. Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's recap today's strawberry letter. Subject, I thought I found the perfect man. Hello?
Yeah. This letter's simple.
What?
I told you I'm tired.
I know.
Now, listen to me.
Mad at us for what you did.
I'm on a delay. I'm on a delay.
No, you're not. Come on.
Damn it, I'm on a delay, not my system.
Oh, you yourself.
The mics and stuff is working fine.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm on Steve Harvey.
Gotcha.
Mentally on a delay. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. You was just sleep.
Stayed up all night long like I'm 40.
It hurts, though. Don't it hurt?
Well, I remember when you went to sleep on the air that time we were
hurts,
in Vegas.
Man. I can't do it no more.
Oh,
when he fell asleep while we was on the air?
Yeah, when we were in Vegas.
Had his shoes off. One shoe on.
But wait, did you hear him say, ooh, that was some good sleep? Did you hear what he said?
I dropped the mic.
Plunk. That's all we heard.
I had them headsets on. They were so damn loud. I sat straight up. I looked at them two white men. I didn't
know. He didn't know where they came from.
But I yelled. I was like, Steve.
Oh, man, me and Shirley laughed so hard.
I thought they was fans. I said, I'll be white man.
Oh, yeah, we were. He was doing an interview. Yeah. He was doing an interview with some of our clients. Oh.
I thought they had saw me counting cards at the casino.
All right, Steve, come on. Back to the letter, though. 75 years old, this man.
Real simple. This lady dating this man, he's her everything she's ever wanted, man. 75, sharp, dripper, still sleeping with her and all this here. You get busy whenever you want to, but he don't want to go to church with her. It's just that simple.
What's wrong with the church, though?
Now, we're going to get into that because, see, my father didn't go to church much either, so that don't make you a bad person. You could be a very righteous person, not be an attendee of church. But now you saying you've talked about marriage with him, but if he can't say yes to going to church, you can't say yes to getting married. Well, he's pretty adamant that you're nagging him about this church. Maybe he don't want to go to your church.
What is wrong?
Let's find out. First question. Does your church sell the sermon on CD or audio after service?
A lot of churches do, Steve.
Yeah, they do that. Mm-hmm.
Has he heard a couple? See, everybody, pastor, can't preach.
This is true.
Maybe he don't want to sit up there to that dry sermon he be hearing. What type of church you go? Is it Methodist?
Well, that don't matter, do it?
Stop that, Steve.
That don't matter.
No, I'm just asking a question. Because if it's Methodist, ain't no drums.
She didn't
tambourines say. Tambourines or guitars.
She did not say.
Okay, well, whatever it is, maybe your pastor is dry. Let's hear another thing.
Maybe
what's the name of your... What?
He dry. He said dry.
Oh, maybe your pastor's dry.
You thought he said hi?
Yeah. Now, here's the next question.
Could be.
What's the name of your choir?
What do you mean? What do you mean, the youth choir?
See, if it's got one of them names that mean they don't sound like the gospel songbirds.
What's wrong with that? Mm-hmm.
They'll never sound good. Sorry, baby.
I ain't heard
bunch of
one
old
yet.
Crows up there singing. They call themselves the songbirds.
How they singing now?
They got old crazy. Lord is my rock. Let out.
And not with you.
Don't nobody want to sit through that. Now,
did you?
I just wanted to see how I can phrase this and call it, let me say it.
Careful.
I don't think your pastor and your choir is up to par. That's all I have to say. And I think that this just been demoralizing for them to have to sit through the services that you're doing. Next question. Is your church a storefront? It's next to a liquor store. See, maybe he's a former alcoholic, and he can't go down there next to that liquor store and sit there and try to make it.
He can't get through service.
Maybe it's a zoning issue with the church and the liquor store, Steve. Are you crazy?
There ain't no zoning issues in the hood.
Right.
It's liquor store, check cashing place,
all right. That. Yeah.
Church,
chicken house,
daycare.
Yeah. And a motel.
Or daycare,
barbershop,
check cash in place, or churches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, a church.
As in chicken.
Yeah.
Then somebody selling chickens.
Live chickens?
So,
yeah. What?
Yeah. This answer to this is all over the place because I've been up all night.
Yes, but it's funny, though.
I want to apologize for this response to the strawberry letter. Steve Harvey in Vegas gambling his ass off.
You better do you, boo.
Yeah. Now, here was crazy. Tomorrow, I got to be at work. I got to do three shows, man.
talk shows.
Okay, so so at some point you need to get some sleep, is what you're saying.
Oh, I can't though, Shirley. I ain't been here in a while.
Well, excuse me, Shirley, Steve. What is the advice to the lady that wrote the letter, Mr.
I'm trying
Harvey?
To get it out of him.
Yeah.
Go get her check cash and go to the chicken house and then go to the liquor store.
Hey, go to church. He's not coming down there. He's just not coming.
I don't know.
Stop nagging him.
I don't know what to tell her. Mm. She ain't going down there.
She's got to stop nagging him, though,
that's
right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, she's got to.
She's going
to
lose.
Well, I would say go on and marry this man and don't worry about it because, man, let me tell you something. It's hard to find good men.
Yeah.
And he's a good man. He righteous. He just don't go to church much. Now, he may eventually, like my father do, my father ended up going to church quite often.
Mm.
But, you know.
She got all these rules.
Let him do it on
stuff.
His own.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM.
Is your shoes off right now, Steve?
No, I got them on.
All right. Coming up in 10 minutes, guys, our girl Cheryl Underwood.
I'm going back downstairs.
From the talk is going to be here.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, guys, Carla's reality update is back for the new year.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right. But right now, please, Steve, introduce our girl from the talk, the one and only.
Cheryl, the pearl under the wood.
That's right, baby. And I sure miss my Steve Harvey Morning Show family.
What's up,
Happy
girl?
New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And I know it's the day after, but happy Founders Day, Jansny Brown, my brother of Phi Beta Sigma. So I have to say that. And we coming up to the Founders Day of Zeta Phi Beta. So happy birthday to all, happy Founders Day to all my sons.
New Phi!
You know it. You know it. Listen, man. They got him. They got him. They got. Listen.
Sure.
First of all, Pelosi ain't no joke.
Oh, no, she's not. I love her.
She ain't cracking no smile.
Yeah, she came back with a vengeance. She did.
Hell to the gnaw, to the double gnaw, no, no, no. You ain't getting no money for this. Listen. Wait a minute. What did you say, Junior? Who did you say they was?
Schumer.
Who you said they were?
Oh, Cagney and Lacey.
You said they were Cagney and Lacey? That's Joe Friday. That's Joe. That's Dragnet right there. What's the other dude that was with Joe Friday? The other dude, Morgan, Harry Morgan, that went to play on MASH. That's Joe Friday
who
right
you
there.
You went back, Cheryl.
You went so far back.
Oh, listen, man. What I should have did My Mother the Car. Remember My Mother the Car?
Come on, man,
old school shows right there. But they listen to me. They ain't giving him no rhythm. President Trump should have did everything he had to do when he had control of the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't giving him no love. And that new dude that they got in their bar that they about to put into the Justice Department.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he done already said, I'm cool with Mueller, whatever he trying to do. I'm trying to hear it. So this ain't going to go the way he think. The Agent Orange is out the building. Commander Anchito ain't happening no more. It is done, baby. And I'm a Republican. And when Republicans start bailing on each other, it's over, baby. And they bailing on each other. They bailing on each other. I'm so.
So what are you saying, Cheryl? What's going on, basically?
I'm going to tell you what I think going to happen.
Okay.
I think they building the legal case. See how they got Richard Nixon to resign with the Watergate? Mm-hmm. He went to the Senate, and they said, we don't have the votes to save you from this impeachment. So he resigned. I believe Trump's is going to resign to save his family, because all of them going to jail, all his friends going to jail, and he going to go to jail.
You think he's going to resign, Cheryl?
Yeah, girl. He's
gonna, not a before, quitter,
before
Donald
2020,
Trump.
Cheryl?
Donald Trump?
He going to resign in 2019. You know why?
Why?
Mueller is not talking, and he looked just like the boy off Law and Order. And that's
yeah.
Don't he look like the tall, what that white man name? He looked just like him. It's over. It's over. He gonna hear the music. It's over. Yeah. I thought he was still alive.
No.
I'm thinking about the wrong person.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's still alive. Wait a minute.
About Lenny.
I'm thinking about Lenny.
Let me tell you. Oh, the dude that used to be the song and dance man that was in Guys and Dolls. He's the one
Jack
that
Jack McCoy.
Yeah, Jack McCoy.
Okay.
Jack
McCoy. Man. It's going down, baby. But wait a minute. Hold on. I got questions.
What? Yes.
What kind of lace front are we wearing now?
Yeah, you been listening.
Listen, y'all know I got the shiny ball spot in the front, so I need to know how is Usher
And he got his hair done too.
Let me tell you, I need to know what they using. Is they what are they using? Cream of nature?
Sulfur aid.
Sulfur aid, baby. Ooh. What are they using? Are they using Afro Sheen? What are they using? Because the hair's thick and beautiful when they walk. Bring them back, pimpin', fry, die, lay to the side. I need to know what they use.
You don't have to be bald.
I don't have no choice. Nothing.
Not you.
No, I have nothing to hang on to. No, you got to have something to hang on in the front. Because when you, I don't sweat, but I do get the vapors. And that brings. So that glue don't hold it down enough. So it lay down, then it roll up. So now I need to know what Usher is using for
Usher
real.
Has cute and young Jock. You seen this?
I like Young beautiful. Jock when he first did it.
Yeah.
I like now Nick Cannon was
God,
on our show.
Nick.
He cut his hair off.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like that curl that was hanging down.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, like he was off Cottage Grove.
They said he looked like a preacher, yeah.
So he looked like one of the dudes that be hanging out at the Godfather's show. You know I had to go back to Chicago. Listen to me. Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
The Filipino girl won the Miss Universe.
Yeah, yes,
all
she did.
The Filipino. Every Filipino
rightfully
I know.
Rightfully so. I thought the girl from South Africa was going to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. She did her thing.
She was fabulous, but she fumbled at the end.
At the end, yeah.
With her question, she fumbled it.
Yeah.
And I think that cost her the crown.
That's what cost her the crown.
But they could have easily given it to Miss Venezuela, though.
Venezuela. Oh, she was gorgeous, too.
Yeah, she was. She looked good.
Yeah, she
you know,
beautiful.
Steve, you done brought it back. I tell you, Steve, I told you, we was not watching Miss Universe. Last time we watched was in the mid-70s when that black girl won from Trinidad Tobago. That dark-skinned black girl named Comision, she won. And now we watch every year because, Steve, you make the show. You make the show. I mean, the women are beautiful, but we really watching for you,
no.
Steve Harvey.
No, no.
Yeah, we. Yeah, I'll be watching to see
women.
The outfit.
No, no. No
the jacket.
Oh, it's clean this year.
Oh, no. I was getting ready to say that jacket, that black velvet.
What I say, Cheryl,
that bling on it? Oh
what I say, Cheryl?
Somebody say something about it.
That was a nice jacket. Listen to me, Steve.
Beautiful.
I need a 35 wide for that for the daytime
wide.
Emmy.
You so stupid.
I need a 42 wide, Steve, so I can get them buttons around my stomach. That was a cold jacket, boy. Cold blood. That was a cold-blooded jacket.
Now, next year.
Yeah, I need a 42 wide right in the middle of the waist.
I hope they do it in South Africa next year.
Ooh, nice. I'm going to go to that.
Change next year.
Woo! To the motherland.
Change next year.
All right, Cheryl, we thank you. We love you. We appreciate
you. Absolutely, I love you. Happy pre-birthday, Steve Harvey. Don't act like I don't know when your birthday is.
Praise right. God, I sure want to get there.
Because I know you have good meat at your birthday barbecue.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, Carla's reality update right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Cheryl, we had to bring you back in because you talked about a lot of stuff, but you did not hit Chicago homie R. Kelly.
Oh, let me tell you something, Shirley Scrawberries. I was trying to restrain myself, but I have a personal story. Want to hear it?
Okay.
Yeah.
I was talking to R. Kelly in the ladies' bathroom of the Copper Box. Shirley Strawberry, don't look at me
the
crazy.
Copper Box.
I remember
and
the
copper
box.
That's right. Right off on the Wild Wild Hundreds.
Yeah.
And I knew he was a trip then. I was singing with a band called Platinum Touch, Tommy.
What?
Platinum Touch?
Yeah, that's the name of the band, Junior. It's Platinum Touch.
Why is this going crazy?
You were singing?
Yeah, I was singing with a band for real, Steve. And I was singing, what's the song? You Gonna Make Me Love Somebody Else? Well, that's the Jones Girls.
Uh-huh.
If you keep on treating me the way you do.
Yeah.
I sang my song, you know, and after I, you know, kept drinking that Crown Royal, I had to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom, was R. Kelly.
No, Cheryl.
Yes, and I knew he was strange then because, you know, they have peppermint, they have deodorant, they have all kinds. I said, what is, you going to catch me, Carla? Catch me. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
I'm
what
ready.
Is your black ass doing in the bathroom?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, people say, well, why is his music going up? Because people have a morbid curiosity. Now, Ignition was the cut, but we all knew something was wrong with this Negro when he made Seem Like You Ready and 12 play, because that's ignorant right there. Let me tell you what you need to do. Now, listen, he got away with it because I think, now this is my personal opinion, they paid off everybody so that they wouldn't do what they need to do. That's what I believe. And I believe this is a cult. I'm telling the truth. Listen, common is right that the community, we let these girls down.
We did.
The community let these girls down. I love John Legend. Now, he might sing soft and lovable, but he hard as a mug. Because John Legend say, I done had no compulsion to pull back on him. I wasn't supporting that. Damn. So you going to do the crime and the time? Daggone it.
Yeah.
That's
well,
how
you know, I just think that he is... I think for me, just being honest, I was completely stunned watching this thing. Yes.
A lot of people were.
It kills me when people go, I knew. Well, if you knew that and your ass didn't do nothing, it's something wrong with you. You just That's like right. the people that work for him, sitting up there in black shadow and all that. I used to see him come in. Well, dog, why ain't you do nothing? I can honestly say I had no idea it was of this magnitude. Had I known this, I promise you I would have done something. Because I'm that type of dude, man.
Right.
I don't care who you are.
No.
I don't care who you are, how cool we are.
That's right.
But there is no way. And I feel like Common, and I feel like so many black men feel today. Mm-hmm. We feel like we let so many women down.
That's right.
And
that's
as a
right.
black
Babies.
Man, I take responsibility for that. Even though I didn't know. How didn't we know?
But
how
Steve, all Steve, let me ask you a question.
Passed?
What
no.
would you,
how
what?
Did all of this get passed?
But what, I'm going to tell you honest to God truth. When you go to people and they being brainwashed and they got Stockholm Syndrome, even if you say you don't need to be about this life so hard that you will let this happen, and then people denying that it ever happened. They are family
See,
members.
To me. No. Because now we provide an out. Because we're saying that, you know, you knew and you was grown and family members. No, I'm saying that this dude right here, for what he did, his ass deserves the ass whipping for brainwashing him.
Yes,
for
I agree
making
with you.
Him feel some kind of way, for destroying their self-esteem.
I agree with you.
For taking advantage of
That's
them,
right,
for
Steve.
Using a punk-ass pimp mentality on all these sisters. That's what I'm
he
angry
is, man.
About.
Yeah. He is.
Babies,
I didn't even
yeah.
see his ass,
Oh,
man.
Listen.
I didn't even see him doing it to him like that. And I wish I had because I would have done something. Now, what would you have done, Steve? All I can tell you is it wouldn't have been legal.
Well, let me tell you something. I think that it got to go further than this. You got to cut I Believe I Can Fly out of Space Jam. You got to lose the contract at RCA. See, people don't take this serious until you hit them in the pocket. You got to hit them
That's
in the pocket.
Right,
but
right.
I'm going to tell you something. From the things that I knew and the things that I saw, and when I was like, you know, was like, that girl looked kind of young. What is that? What is that going on? If people don't listen to you, all you doing is talking to somebody. Well, Cheryl, get up out of here. I will. Okay, but that's a child. And then the family members, I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just saying we as a culture need to stop doing it to ourselves. You need to stop wanting to be famous so bad that you bring your child
yep. that's right.
over there to that.
Now, that's
you brought your yep. child
that's
over
facts.
There. Or you
facts.
Don't want to admit that it even happened, knowing good and damn well you had a marriage license that you had to annul it. But you would say, oh, make my child famous. Let my child go backstage. Me and Leslie Jones telling R. Kelly jokes back then, trying to get it out. But all I can say
Stop
is...
Stop using your kids as your damn
you
meal ticket.
Meal ticket.
Right.
That's it, Steve.
Right.
That's
Give
it.
Give them a chance to grow up and develop where they can make smarter decisions.
That's right.
Most child stars in this business, Shirley, you know this for a
That's
fact.
That's right.
Most child stars, when that little cute period, that little character's
yes.
gone...
Yes.
They have a dismal life
yes.
because they've been coddled and they don't know the realities of life. So they've never been given the real shot at life. Then they grow up, they ain't cute no more.
Right.
But when you 40, that don't mean a damn thing.
No.
See, Emmanuel Lewis took himself and went to college and school.
Sure did.
Emmanuel Lewis went on with his life.
Mm-hmm.
The average child star does not pick up the pieces well.
No.
And when we take our children and push them into the business because that's their ticket, they want to be famous and rich because mm-hmm. the parents.
That's what the parents
that's
want.
That's what the mm-hmm. parents want
that yeah. too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sitting up here talking about she's 17, talking about if y'all don't let me, I'm going to just do this. Well, I tell you what, you're going to do it with the skin off your ass. How about that?
You know, and you can't even talk about, you know, what we would normally do. You can't talk about corporal punishment now. You can't talk about who has a responsibility for an underage child because that's how he started. They may have been grown women by the time this story came out. And, you know, and people knew what was going on, and people worked with him. But why aren't people talking? All the people that work with him that didn't want to talk about it on camera. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to end with this. Because they were black, and it was a different socioeconomic background, look how long this was allowed.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, Cheryl.
Yes, man.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's be real. We need to stop killing each other. We need to start having respect for each other, and we need to look out for each other. That jailhouse right. justice is no joke. No
You're
joke.
Right, Cheryl. You're
no
right.
That's right.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that so much. Wow. That kind of put it all into perspective. We're going to switch gears. Yeah, switch gears here. Carla's standing by with the first reality update for the year for the 1-9.
All
right. Yeah, we're coming back with Carla's reality update right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Our girl Carla is here with our first reality update of the year of the 1-9. Carla, what you got, girl?
Get ready. It is reality update.
All
right. In 2019, I introduced her, Shirley. You don't do that. Okay?
Ooh.
But you come
Whatever.
In here late.
Whatever.
No, you come in here late. You don't even know who you intro and all. That's okay.
Carla, you got mad. You're so stupid.
Well, thank you, Shirley. Thank you, nephew. And wait a minute, Steve. You here for it? What'd you say?
You know, this is what I'm here for.
All right, let's go with
I'm an expert in reality, everything.
Okay, for real.
You created reality radio, remember?
Mm. Yes,
girl,
you did.
I'm is reality.
Ooh, I'm is. All right. I am, I don't know, Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's kind of slow. I'm just struggling a little bit with the show. But here we go again. Candy and Portia, they're beefing. Portia was invited to Todd's birthday party. Candy and Todd.
Okay.
She threw a birthday party for her husband. Portia came to the birthday party. Portia's current baby daddy, his ex-girlfriend was there. The ex-girlfriend was all talking to him, and they were a little too close. Portia was like, what's going on? What's happening? Kiss on the cheek. Long story short, Candy's crew kind of threw Portia out the party, and Portia was upset. She texts Candy about it, and Candy was like, I'll get back with you. I'm going to see what's going on, blah, 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 blah. So Candy didn't really see what happened, but her crew updated her and told her what went down at the party. I'm going to tell you about that, but first I want to tell you about Cynthia and Mike Hill, because Steve, you introduced them, right? Mike and Cynthia Bailey, Hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So he came into town, and you know, they're dating long distance, and they've been dating for a while. And NeNe and Greg, though, they're still friends with Cynthia's ex, Peter.
Papa Smurf.
Yeah. So Peter.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so Peter came by the house, and they're, you know, NeNe and Greg right now on Team Peter.
That's awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward, right? Right. So she was wondering, was he going to pop the question? He did ask her to be his lady. So it was like they're exclusive now. So
like,
she
will you go with me when we were in grade school?
Yeah. So she was like, womp, womp, womp. So they're really exclusive now. So, you know, Cynthia's happy. Leading up to that, they had this hibachi grill party. Eva and all of them threw the party. So here comes Candy and Portia.
Uh-oh.
Right. So they haven't really talked since Portia got thrown out of the birthday party.
Okay.
So that's why I had to lead back up to that. Portia told NeNe and Cynthia that she was pregnant, that she's expecting. So, but Candy doesn't know this.
Oh.
So, yeah, they're at the party and they're talking and they're at the, one of the other new cast members, they're at her house. Mm-hmm. I can't think of her name right now. I think it's Tanya. But anyway, they're at her house. And so it just got heated.
Mm-hmm.
And Candy
you know, just real quickly, Candy and Portia, they're beefing, they're arguing with each other. And so, and I agree with what Cynthia was saying. Candy doesn't know that Portia's pregnant. But Portia, you know you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So calm all that down and all that yelling and
screaming. Baby don't need to
but
be hearing
what did Portia do, though? Mm-hmm. What did she do?
They said that she was causing drama, but Portia was like, her point to Candy was, you're my friend.
Uh-huh.
So you should have followed up and said, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, what happened? Why did you get thrown out the party? And so Portia felt like Candy wasn't her friend, and Candy was like, whatever, yeah. You know, it just got ugly. But anyway, we got to go. Yeah. Hit me up at Lips by Carla. We can talk more about it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, tomorrow morning, guys, make sure you tune into the Steve Harvey Morning Show because Kevin Hart will be our very special guest host tomorrow.
Here we go, Kevin. Yeah. Come on,
what's up,
baby.
Kev?
Anybody see his interview? I saw a little part of it.
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America, GMA.
With Michael Strahan.
One thing he said that I loved, and he said it repeatedly throughout the interview, I'm done with this. I'm moving on. I'm done with it. So what do you have to say about this, Kevin?
I'm done with it.
What about this?
What was he referring to?
About the whole, you know, Oscar controversy, you know, with the gay statements he had made.
That right there, he took that too far. Yeah. The man apologized some time ago.
Years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
And recently he apologized again. Yeah. So that's why he said he's done. So he'll be with us tomorrow to chop it up, Steve.
Yeah. But he's not going to talk about that. I can tell you that.
he's going to talk about it on this damn show. That's what he's going to do.
Based on that interview, he's done.
We're going to have fun.
I don't give a damn what he said on GMA.
He said because it's never enough. He said it's never, ever enough. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Kevin's new movie. It's called The Upside with Bryan Cranston.
That looks good.
Yeah, that looks really good. So join us tomorrow morning for Kevin Hart. And in other news, Steve, entertainment news, many women, I know everybody wears a lace front wig from time to time. Yeah, I'm getting ready to color my hair.
And y'all wear it well. You wear it well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy.
But apparently, Meek Mill, who knew?
I ain't know you had on no lace front rig. I'm just going to keep it warm.
Yeah, you don't. If they're done right, you don't know.
I don't know.
That's the thing, Steve. If they're done right, you don't know.
If you don't take it off in front of me, I just don't know. I don't know you got it on.
I love it, Tommy.
I love it.
Just don't take it off
so
in front of me.
So you're not upset about it?
I'm not upset about
it. Okay.
No, it's no problem.
But technically, it ain't none of my damn business.
Exactly. As long as
you know what I'm saying?
Good.
Look, if you're not my woman.
Right.
I can't comment on what you're doing with your hair.
Right, but
you're not my woman.
Meek Mill, Steve, said lace front wigs are whack. I'm protesting them. And after being trolled, Meek issued this response. I'm sorry. I just had a few bad lace experiences that traumatized me. He said, you ever get food poisoning from eating something and never want to eat it again? He said, that's the same feeling. That is the same feeling. He said, I'm off Twitter. I'm still not ready for this.
Okay, let me explain lace front to me.
Okay, lace front, how they make them, they put like weave hair or wig hair on top of, you know what a piece of like nylon hose or stocking
netting
looks like?
Yeah.
Different forms.
And it matches your skin color, so you can't tell where the wig begins and your skin ends. And they do it really well.
Okay, but if you can tell, it's probably where Meek has it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly
what he's saying. Oh, like if yours starts back up your head somewhere.
You know what? Or it's too far down on your forehead. Or
you made your point.
Yes.
Like right above your
eyebrows. I'm just saying. I kind of think I know where he's going with
this. I see what you're saying.
Too much baby hair out. You know, something.
He's talking about the
one. If your lace front don't match the hair that's showing in, if your lace front ain't the only hair that's in the front.
Uh-huh. All right, Steve. Coming up, our last break of the day and Steve's closing remarks right after this at 49 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Out the gate, Steve, you were so powerful with your first closing remark for us, and
this past Monday,
and it's trending now, and people are just into it, and we thought it'd be good, you know, if you do that again.
We're gonna play it now.
Oh, good. Okay.
We'll run it again because I want to hear it. Because you know, I don't write closing remarks down; I just do them.
They're from the heart,
top of my head, and my heart. You know, because I like for people to. listen to me as I'm thinking. You know, I don't want people, I don't want to be scripted with people. So this is, these are, this is a redo of what I did. I hope you enjoy it. Y'all have a great weekend, Case. Thinking about it. And as always, as we set out on these new years, people have a tendency to make resolutions. I don't make resolutions for the new year, because as soon as I think of what I want to do to improve myself, I don't wait to start improving at the beginning of the year. I start on Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving. I start August 22nd. It don't matter. When the moment I think. So I used to do resolutions, but I don't do them anymore, because life is too short to wait till the start of the year to begin. But how about if we look at it this way? Since God has afforded you this incredible opportunity called life, and we are all here, and even against all the odds, we somehow made it to 2019. I want to say this to you. You have a say-so in how your year go. You have a say-so in how your year go. You do not have to sit here and just play it by ear. You have choices. You have decisions. You have the right to view it positively or negatively. You have the right to view your glass as half full or half empty. You have the right to accept righteousness or evil. You have the choice. That's the beauty about being a human. God, when he created us as creatures, as he created us as creatures, he gave us, as the human creature, the only one that has the power of choice in all areas of life. We can choose when we mate, where we live, how we live, who we mate with, where we stay, what we wear, how we dress, the climate we live in. Look, polar bears have to live in polar regions. Penguins have to live, fish have to live in the ocean. It's the way it is. Bears got to be in woods. That's how it. We can go live on the desert. We can live on a mountaintop. We get choices. 2019 is your year to make better choices. If you weren't happy with the way 2018 went for you, you have a decision to make. You can change your thought process. And by changing your thought process, you can change the outcome. Now listen to this. You can't do anything about everything that happens to you. There's nothing you can do about what's going to happen to you. But you can do something about every single thing that happens to you. You can have the attitude so when it happens to you, it does not destroy you. You've got to stop letting mishaps that come along in your life wipe you out and cause you to pause so long that you're no longer in perpetual forward motion and you wind up stuck on stupid. You have a choice to accept everything as a child of God and say, you know what? He probably got something better for me. For example, they're going to close a door on me in 2019. You think I'm tripping about that? They already told me they probably going to close this door on me in 2019. All that means for me is God has another door for me to open, for me to walk through. He going to open another door. These people that make these decisions at these networks and stuff, they don't control my life. They control that little piece of section over there. I got the rest of it. I'm God in charge of me. So every door that closes for you in 2019, if you understand that that allows for an opportunity for another door to open, maybe I need some more rest. Maybe I've been working too hard. Maybe this is his way of saying, hey, partner, you're going to slow down. I'm going to help you slow down. I ain't finna fall. I ain't going to have to sell nothing. I ain't going to lose nothing. But I've learned to accept God's will and understand that everything that happens to me for my good and my betterment, because the God I serve didn't bring me this far to leave me. You tell me, why would God lift you to the height that he got you to just to see you fall? That's not the God we serve. That's not God. Don't let nobody deceive you. That ain't God. When something happens in your life,
It's an opportunity, man. That's all 2019 is. It's going to be a series of opportunities. When they tell you no, it's going to create another opportunity. If they tell you you're canceled, it's going to create another opportunity. If they tell you, well, we don't think so, it's because they don't know. You think I care about somebody telling me how they feel about me or a show I got? You think they made me? Them people didn't make me, man. They just give me the opportunity to go do something else. I ain't got to sit around and be wondering, tripping about what you're going to do with me. I know how to forge and pray and earn and work for other opportunities. This ain't the only country. I'm global. The God I serve is international. See, that's what I know. Don't let 2019 get by you without understanding that you have a say-so in just how it goes. So come on, man. Get your attitude right. Keep talking to God. Pray. Ask for guidance and assistance. And see if God don't show you the way. That's how you get through 2019. That's how we got through 18. Woo, you thought you wasn't going to make it, but here you
is. Come on, boy.
Drop it.
You better. I got to go. Y'all have a nice weekend.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.